What many people consider the crux of Revelation now, this end time prophetic moment, like the culmination moment, other than the coming of Christ that we're going to see at the end of tonight, the second coming of Christ. But tonight we're really going to get in, and we're going to be covering a harlot that's riding on a beast. And we're going to be covering a city that is going to be destroyed. And we're going to be covering heaven, earth mourning, and heaven rejoicing over those facts. And then we're going to be looking at the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. And those that are with him are going to be coming back with him to this earth. And then next week is going to be a very good time together, because we went through some real dark times, and tonight we're going to hit a few more of those. But next week, it's going to be all good stuff, because now the Lord is here, and there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. And then after that, there's going to be eternity in new heaven and a new earth and a renovated, whole new place to live and to habitate in. And it's going to be an awesome time. So we are pushing forward tonight. So take your Bibles and turn Revelation chapter number 17. We're not going backward. We're only going forward. So I'm just going to dive right into this. Revelation 17 and verse 1, it begins to lay out for us. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me. Now this chapter is kind of a interlude chapter again. What that means is it's not necessarily right in the place that it's going to take place, but it is an interlude that is telling us what is going to be happening, and that'll make more sense as we move forward. Verse 1, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, John, saying to me, "Come, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sets on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with amazement." Now, that is a graphic depiction that has just been given to us. And we will look at this, and I will just tell you as we start off tonight that there are several different different interpretations that Bible prophecy teachers will share out of who this harlot is. And those of you that are prophecy people and study on prophecy, you'll have your own beliefs unto who this harlot is, but I'm going to just talk to you about what I see in this, what seems to make the most sense in this, and we're going to pull this together tonight. But this is Mystery Babylon. This what we are looking at tonight is a mystical Babylon. Now, in just a little bit, we're going to get into a actual portrayal of Babylon, a city. But this that we see, first of all, and I'm pulling my paper out here. I've got this on my iPad and on my own notes, so I'm just going to do both of these here. My phone's talking to me over there. She heard me say something, I guess. So she's, I don't need your help. Thank you. I'm trying to help me preach. I'll preach all by myself, Siri. That's all right. Okay. This is mystical Babylon. We are going to be looking at a little bit at what would be the city called Babylon, and we'll talk about that. What I see in this, let me share with you what some prophecy teachers would say. There are some that see in this setting there are some that say they would see the United States in this setting, between this and the city that's going to be called Babylon, because it talks about the city that the traders of the earth and the seafarers and all that mourn when it is destroyed. And so there are some that's what they will say. There are others that will say, and this is a very predominant teaching among the church and has been for a long time, even back into the Reformation days when the reformers were here. There are some that would say that Mystery Babylon represents the Roman Catholic Church in a fallen state in the tribulation time. Okay, now you have to understand, not as much the Roman Catholic Church as we understand it today, but what would be in the tribulation time, okay? So there are many that would say that, and there's reasons for that, because we're going to talk about it, but the robed in purple and scarlet, those are papal garments, the sitting on the seven, the seven heads, the seven hills the city was on, and Rome being on seven hills, and so there's room for those translations in this. Personally, what I believe we're seeing in this Mystery Babylon is a mystical spiritism of the world of that day. And we're gonna get into this a little bit. That I believe this is the spiritual outcome of the world of the tribulation days. Okay, the church has been raptured out. The Jews now that have seen Christ for who he is are hidden away as these things are beginning to happen, taken away. But the world is still yet very spiritual and religious. How many know to be spiritual and religious really can have, in many cases, has nothing to do with being Christian? The world has always been spiritual and religious. Every aspect of the world, every part of the world, every place in the world. When we say spiritual and religious, a lot of times our minds go to religion as we understand it. But this world has false religions all around it, and people are very religious. Paul would say when he went to Mars Hill, you remember in the story at the Areopagus, he goes in and he says to them, "I've looked around and I've seen all of your idols." He said, "And I perceive that you are very religious." That's what he says there. You are very not superstitious, you are very religious. Okay? He said, "But I've noticed you have an idol made to an unknown God. I've come to declare that unknown God to you, the one that is truly the God of all the earth." So what I think we are seeing when we see this Mystery Babylon and this harlot, I want you to notice, let me read down a little farther and then pull this together for you, okay? Look at verse 7 with me. "The angel said to me, 'Why did you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and the ten horns.'" Now, if you go back into Daniel, and we're not going back into Daniel, but you go back into Daniel, you'll find the seven heads and the ten horns and the little, you know, you'll see the little horn. You'll see all these different things that you have to pull together to get a full understanding. "And the beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition." That's very important in what we're understanding. "And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is." That's gonna mean something in just a moment. "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition." Now just, I know that's probably very confusing. Perdition meaning destruction. "The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate, naked, eat her flesh, burn her with fire, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, we read all of it because I need to get this in perspective so I can tell you what we're looking at here. This beast that she rides on is the representation of Antichrist and the kingdom of Antichrist. More than the Antichrist, the kingdom of the Antichrist. And so this harlot rides upon this beast. Now, the thing you have to understand is for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, even though there is destruction upon the world and there's different places of war and rumors of war and all these type of things that's going on, there is then going to be the one that rises up, the Antichrist, rallies the world together, and there's going to be a semblance of peace. There's going to be a peace accord signed, and there's going to be a world coming together out of chaos, trying to make sense of what they're dealing with, and there's going to be one that's going to rise above them all, and he is the Antichrist. And so when you see this harlot setting upon this beast, later the kings that are upon this beast are going to yield their power to the Antichrist. They're going to turn on the harlot and destroy her. Okay, so here's what is important for you to understand. That harlot represents the spiritual systems of this world. And she rises to power with the beast. The church is going to be gone. And the spiritual depravity of the world is going to begin to rise. Okay? And there's going to be people martyred. There's going to be people killed. We've already seen 2 witnesses that were martyred. We've seen 144,000 that were martyred. There are others who won't give their head for the sake of Christ because they won't take the mark of the beast that's going to come. So all these things are going to be going on. But the spiritual, and I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me really closely, because during the tribulation time, the world in some ways will be very spiritual. But the spirit that is going to be dominating is going to be the spirit of the enemy of our souls. False religions are going to rule the day. Amen. I mean, that's going to be the beginning. And we are already, we're already seeing this in our world today. We're already, it's beginning to rise up. The spirit of Antichrist is rising up. The Bible talks about that people are going to come to a time where they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Paul writes that to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:5. Paul writes and he says, they're going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power thereof. Okay, that's that scripture. From such people turn away. How many understand we already have that alive and well among us today? There are people who claim a form of godliness, but they deny the power. What is the power of godliness? It is Christ. And the power of his word and the power of his spirit. And so there's going to be a church, if you will, of the tribulation days. But it's not going to be a church like we know the church. It's going to be a church that's going to celebrate man. Humanism. Secular world. Man's going to have all the answers. They're going to be trying to care for one another and loving one another and helping one another. They're going to turn these things into their religion. We're seeing it alive among us today. And let me be real bold with you tonight. This is even creeping in to our churches. Because we've got a lot of people that associate Christianity with good deeds. Christianity does envelop good deeds. Amen. Jesus taught that. If you see someone cold and naked, what are we supposed to do? Take them in, right? Help them. If you see them hungry, what are we supposed to try to do? Feed them. If you see them thirsty, what are we supposed to try to do? Give them a cold drink. Give them something that's going to help them. We are called to love people. We are called to be people of nurturing and caring and loving. We are to be good stewards. But how many know that good deeds alone is not godliness? When the church focuses only on social issues, they are buying in to a system that will still be alive during this tribulation period, that is a system that the enemy will use. We can come together with people of all different religions and beliefs as long as we leave Christ out of it. Amen? As long as we don't push that Jesus stuff, we can all come together and we can do all these great things for people. People of all different faiths. People of all interfaith movements. And people that, you know, the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims and the Christians and this group and that group. We can all come together. And as long as we leave Jesus out of it, we can just do great things for people. We are fulfilling God's word. But the reality is we are not fulfilling God's word unless we are sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As well, Ephesians 2:8 says, it is by grace and it is through faith that you have been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. It's our works. That's not how we are saved. I want you to hear me, because you might say, well, Pastor, you're not talking about tribulation. You're not talking about revelation. Yes, I am. Because this is the system that's going to rise up that this harlot is going to demonstrate. Because the world system is rising up as the new God, the new church, the new way of living. If you just leave Jesus out of it, we can just all be better, because those Jesus people are just judgmental. Hate mongers. They want to tell everybody they got to believe the word of God, and therefore they need to be stopped. How many believe that's what many people in our world today think? What do you think is going to happen when the church is raptured out of here? That's going to be the dominant theme. Amen. And it's going to incorporate and envelop every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people, because they're all going to be able to rally together. Amen. They're all going to be able to come together, so to speak, and they're going to build what they think is this great kingdom. But what's going to happen, what we are going to see, is the kings of the earth are going to determine when the Antichrist fully comes into full power. They are going to cede their power to him. And guess what is going to happen according to Scripture? They and he will turn on that world system and destroy it, because the only worship allowed for the final 3.5 years is not going to be any type of religious system whatsoever. It won't be any type of other false religion. It is going to be worshiping the beast only, worshiping the Antichrist only. That's what we are seeing. So the church is raptured out. The spiritual aspects of the world that are not with Christ are going to continue to rise up. People are going to continue to believe false beliefs and wrong thoughts, that they're going to rise up, and that's going to come out of every nation. They're going to find ways to come together. It's going to seem like, well, this is the way to peace. This is the avenue. We can all join together. All of these leaders can come together. Boy, if all of our leaders are coming together around the world, peace is right around the corner. Doesn't that make sense? What would happen tonight on our news media if all the leaders of the world all got together and, boy, they were all headed towards peace? We're all laying down everything, and we're putting everything aside and all of our differences aside, and we're, boy, they would be fawning all over that. That's what's going to happen. It's going to look like the world is marching towards peace, and all the while chaos is ensuing. And this harlot's riding on this beast. This harlot's rising up. And boy, it seems like everything's going on. But she's full of abominations. She's full of blasphemies. She's full of fornication. She's full of wickedness. Because it's man's system. Amen. And when they turn on that system, they're going to cast down every system except the Antichrist. And Satan's power is then going to be fully wielded upon this earth. That's what we're seeing. And that's what I was talking about last week. We are seeing the beginnings of with the spirit of Antichrist alive among us today. We are seeing many even in the church. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the church that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even among the church, we are seeing many that are wanting to back away from the authority of Scripture, that are wanting to turn away from making a stand for the Lord because, well, you know, that's offensive to some people. But I remember reading Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I'm going to bring offense. It's going to divide families because if you believe in me, not everybody's going to agree with you. Amen? We are seeing that. We are living this out. It is happening now, and it is paving the way for this system. And when the church is raptured out of here, there's going to be a time the world is going to think we got rid of the worst among us. But what they're not going to know is the one that had been praying to the one that was holding all of this back is no longer here. And that means it's a quick slide to what the Bible calls perdition. Destruction. Amen. And so when we see this, we need to be awake. We need to be aware. We need to be able to notice and to recognize that when the battle is to hold to God's word or be considered hateful if we hold to his word, and so therefore we're going to let go of something, when that is the choice, we better always choose God's word. Amen. I love people, but let me tell you, I'm not going to fashion God's word just so that I don't offend people. Because if their lives don't line up with God's word, it's not God's word that needs to be changed. It's their lives that they need to allow Christ to change them. And we've got a problem today because we are so interested in reaching people, and it seems like such a good cause, and it is. But we are so interested in reaching people, we are willing to relinquish God's word. And therefore, we can have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Amen. And we cannot allow that. But it is a slide. It's happening, and it's going to happen. So therefore, we must stand, we must pray, we must reach out, we must declare, we must speak in love. We need to see our task like that early church saw their task when they were to take the gospel to the whole world. They didn't do it in hate. They didn't run around just browbeating everybody. They just loved people and told them the truth about Jesus. And what we need more than anything else is we need to be going about doing good, loving people, and telling people Jesus is the only way to the Father. Amen. So this harlot, this mystery Babylon, represents the spiritual mystery of the world of the tribulation days. I personally don't believe, and there are many that say, oh, it's the Roman Catholic Church. I don't believe that. Because this is an enemy against God. And there are many things about the Catholic Church that I may not agree with. But they still do teach Jesus is the Savior and Messiah. Don't misunderstand me. There's many things that I don't agree with. But I don't see them in this. I see there's going to be some of them in this. And there's probably going to be some of us in that. Let me rephrase that. Some of you in that. No, I'm not claiming that. For not us. Not us. It is. It's the one. It is. And that one world religion is going to be very diverse as long as it doesn't include Christ. Let me tell you. I've sat. I, as a pastor, I have sat in settings. I have sat in settings where people have talked about that if we could just, if the Christian church would just not focus so much on Jesus, we could get along with these other churches. I want to tell you, if I don't focus on Jesus, I don't have anything to get along with anybody about. Amen. That's foolishness. It's just a waste of time that we need not to be involved in. That's an end times mindset that we are seeing. Where it talks about the seven heads on seven mountains and seven kings. You remember that. And he talks about, I'm getting there here. Verse 10, there are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. Let me tell you what this is talking about. This is talking about kingdoms that have risen up. You'll see Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. And then he talks about, and then there's one that was and is not, but will be again. And Rome was, that's six. Rome was, and now is not. It's not what it was, but will be again because the Antichrist is going to rise up in what is known as the revised Roman Empire. Amen. And that eighth one that the word talks about is Satan himself. I mean, that is the final explosion that's going to bring about the end of all things. And so we see this, so the Antichrist himself rises up. So this is what this is talking about, okay? And so you need to understand that. So that's a new age spiritism that is combining with all these other false religions around the world and think that things are going to all work out. But the Antichrist is going to get sick of sharing glory with anyone. And when Satan fully takes control, he will destroy everything that stands in his way. And it will be him and him alone. Okay. Then in chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven. And he had great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings have committed fornication with her. They've grown rich through her luxury. It says, come out of her, my people, and her sins have reached to heaven. And he goes on and basically, and let me get to it, and I'm skipping down through this because I just for the sake of time. And her destruction will come in verse 8 in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, we've switched now. The first one in chapter 17 was a mystery Babylon. But now the angel is talking about after this is destroyed, now this city. Now, again, the interpretations. Some say this is literally Babylon over in Iraq. Babylon calls them out, talks about Babylon. Do you know that Euphrates River is right there? And do you know that in the first city that was built by Nimrod, you remember they were going to build the tower? You remember what the name of that was? Babel. You know where that was? Right there. Babylon. It's always been a stronghold of the enemy. Okay? So, you know, some people say, well, it's Rome. It's talking about Rome. Could be. I think there's a mixture going on, but I personally think the city he's talking about is Babylon. I believe that the Antichrist is going to rise up, and that revised Roman Empire, I believe the central focus of it is going to be in Babylon because it is a demonic horde. I'm not talking about Babylon now. I'm talking about Babylon that day is going to be a central place where the enemy is going to try to put his thumb in the face of God and say, what you thought you were tearing apart back at the Tower of Babel, I'll rebuild again, and I'm going to build my kingdom right here. And just like God speaks of Jerusalem, his love, and Jerusalem, the city of his favor, and Jerusalem, the people that he has loved, the Satan always copies God. Remember that. He always copies God. And so what is he going to do? He's going to have him a city. And his city is probably, I think it's literal Babylon, but I think it's really going to talk about that entire region. The power structure is going to come there. And the reason this differs from Mystery Babylon is because in Mystery Babylon, the nations turn against her and kill her, the world religion. But now, God judges her. Okay? And this is what he says. Verse 21 of chapter 18. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, threw it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flutists and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore, nor craftsmen of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp will not shine in you, and the voice of a bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain upon the earth." And before that it talks about the world's going to mourn when she is destroyed. This seat of power, I believe this city Babylon, wherever you want to think it is, it's the seat of power for the Antichrist, where he establishes his kingdom. And it will be destroyed, and God will judge her. And then, chapter 19. Now, let me say this first before we go there. The world laments and mourns over this city's destruction. In heaven, there is rejoicing. Okay? In heaven, the world is lamenting and mourning, but in heaven, there is a rejoicing. In chapter 19 and verse 1, "And after these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven," and they're saying, "Hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, power belong to the Lord, for true and righteous are his judgments. He's judged that great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." They said, "Hallelujah." The 24 elders and the four living creatures fall down. They worship God. There's a praise going up in heaven. There's mourning on the earth. And here's what I want to say to you, and I want you to hear this, and this is very important, and then we're going to go one more place tonight. Always remember this: there is always a different expectation, reaction, and understanding between heaven and earth. There is always a very different reaction, expectation, and understanding between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man. Man mourns for the loss of the wrong things. God's people rejoice when God is exalted, when his righteousness is seen and declared. And the world mourns when God's righteousness rules. Amen. That's something for you to remember. When you see that when the right things of God are lifted up and you see people howling and mourning and screeching and screaming about it, that ought to tell you something. Because the kingdom of God reacts different than the kingdom of this world. Amen. No, they get angry about it. This world doesn't want to submit to God. And so our reactions need to be based on the kingdom of God, not on the kingdoms of this world. So we need to not be so focused in this world that we get caught up in the same reactions, expectations, and the same understandings of this world. And we need to keep our eyes upon Christ and the kingdom of God. Amen. Are you with me? You hear that? We need to rejoice when God is marching forward. This was driven home to me. I don't know if you'll remember the story. What, maybe it's been a year and a half ago or so, of the young man. Actually, he was from Oral Roberts University. He's a few years older than Emily. Just went there a few years before she did. John Chow. I don't know if you remember the story or not. Young man that had studied for a couple years. He was a missionary at heart. He was an adventurer in missions at heart. And he got in his heart that he wanted to go over and reach that unreached people group outside of of India. And it's a group that had not had outward contact in a long, well, they'd had one, I believe, and they'd killed some others. And he went over there and gave his life trying to win those people to the Lord. Social media blew up with hatred for this young man. Because how dare he go to that group of people and submit them to all the diseases that he probably carried with him, just thinking he was going to share the gospel with them. That's what everybody was focused on. Rather than a young man feeling a call to go to an unreached people group and share the gospel of Jesus and give his life for them. And rather than being celebrated, he was castigated. Amen? Can I be real blunt with you? On my social media, there was a lot of people that claimed to be Christians that were siding with the world. Saying, yeah, he shouldn't have went over there and just get all those people sick. Well, I want to tell you what, they need Jesus. Jesus heals. That's exactly right. Amen? Here, what's wrong with us? There was a day that was celebrated. We got movies about people that went into unreached people groups and won the whole place to the Lord, and we celebrate those. But in the world we live in, we got things turned upside down. And church, we need to be careful that our reactions, expectations, and understandings line up with the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. Amen. Here, please hear that. Yes. Million-dollar question. We don't see it mentioned by name, but we see where we're headed in the one world government system. So personally, I believe one of two things either is going to happen. Either over here, we just keep some distance from it and continue down a road of self-destruction and weaken ourselves so badly that we're just not a real player in the world at that point. Or we cede power to others and we're just incorporated in. Because really there is no other. There are some prophecy teachers that will say, well, that's America. The nations of the world have come and knelt at our shores. They've purchased our riches. They've eat our lavish food. They've grown drunk on our stuff. You know, there's a lot of people that will tell you they think that's America and that we will be judged. I don't believe that, but there are people that see America in that. There's some very prominent people that will teach that. And hey, the concepts of it make sense. Okay. Because we are that type of nation that everybody comes to. But I think that's either we've weakened ourselves. I'm going to tell you, our society cannot sustain itself the way we're going right now. We, if left down the road we're going right now, we will eat ourselves. There's just no other way around it. We can't get along with each other. If somebody thinks something different than somebody else, we are ready to attack and to go on there. And I'm not talking one way to the other. I'm talking about both ways. There is no room for just debate and disagreement. We have become full of hate, and we are becoming exceedingly wicked in our thought processes. The perversion of our culture is taking over to the point that it's just becoming normal. And every society that went down that road has diminished and died out. Greece was powerful, and perversion and their attitude got in the way and destroyed them. Rome was for hundreds of years the world leader, but their perversion and their debauchery and their drunkenness for power and their ability, it ripped them apart and they fell apart. Every great society, Egypt was the same, every great society has fallen due to the same issues that America is wrestling with tonight. And so that could play a role in it. So that we don't know. We don't see it in there. Some people talk about the eagle and different things, but I think that's stretching. I think we are just combined in this world system now that is just being given over. And so that you can disagree with that. That's fine. That's just what I see there. And then in chapter 19, the church or the kingdom of heaven is rejoicing. And verse 11, and I'm going to close out with this. Verse 11 of chapter 19, and now I saw heaven opened. From here on, it's about to get good. Because the beast has risen up. The harlot's been overthrown. His seat of power now has been judged by God. The world is in chaos and tumult. They're mourning for the loss of their power. And the beast is growing more and more wild and angry. That Antichrist, that the Satan is his last ditch effort. And I saw heaven open and a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written, and I hope one of those crowns are yours and mine that we've given to him. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's going to be us. We're going to be a part of that if we've made it there with him. Followed him on white horses. And now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then he comes down and he destroys the beast and his armies. How many of you have heard of Armageddon? That battle of Armageddon, it's really not going to be much of a battle. They're going to be gathered to the prophecy movies that you watched from back in the day where there's this big scuffle going on and just at the last second Jesus overcomes. That's not biblical. This isn't a fight. This is more like some of them early Mike Tyson fights that you'd pay all that money for, you know, about 8 seconds in, he just knocks him out. The Lord's going to appear, and the armies of earth are going to gather, thinking they're going to fight against him, and he's just out of his mouth is going to come that sword, the word, that flame, and the beast and the enemy is going to be defeated, and judgment is going to come to this world, and Jesus is coming back. Now, I'm not going to go there. We're going to go there next week, but he's going to set up, and I'm excited to get there, because there's something going to happen to Satan that's going to be really good, and Jesus isn't even going to be the one that does it to him. One angel is going to come and shut him up. And I love the way it said, just going to bind him up and shut him. How many can't wait for him to just be shut up, right? Amen. What a day that's going to be. But he's coming back, and we're coming back with him, and there's going to be 1,000 years of peace on this earth under the rule of Christ just before final judgment. And we're going to get to that. But how many understand this is where it's all headed? And we can see it leading there. And we can see types and shadows. Even now, the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. What you see played out in Scripture, we're already seeing bits and pieces of now. But there's coming fulfillment. God does not leave plans unfulfilled. And this plan is coming. Okay? And we don't have to reach and have it all figured out to know God's plan's going to be activated. And all I know for certain is this: I plan to be with him. And there's some pictures. I'm going to talk to you next week about the pictures. We started it 1 week, but I'm going to talk to you at the end about the picture of a Jewish marriage. Because this whole setting has been a picture of the Jewish marriage. From the time the bridegroom left after making a covenant for his bride, when Jesus left and he said, "But I'm coming back," from that time on, the picture has been laid out and it's going to be fulfilled coming up. Amen. And that 1,000 years peace is a fulfillment in that process. Amen. So the world's in chaos, but the chaos is getting close to over now, because the Lord's about to show up. Amen. And I want to be with him. Amen. On his side. And I don't have to train. I'm not going to have to, you know, I'm not getting into heaven so he can take me through an intensive training course to learn how to, you know, do hand-to-hand combat with the army of the Antichrist. Because I'm not going to need to do any of that. All I'm going to have to do is just sit on a horse and ride with him. Amen. And he's going to come and defeat and overthrow the enemy and set this world right. And I'm going to stop there. How many know this is the entire plan? From the garden, when man fell, God's plan was to culminate in setting everything that had gotten turned upside down right side up. So what God starts, he finishes. And he'll do that in you and me. What he has started in you, he will finish. Because he's got it all in his hands. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Watch your reaction. Don't let this world stir you up to a point that your reaction mimics the world. You react according to the kingdom of God. Amen? Let your reactions be kingdom of God oriented, because God's on the throne. Amen. Let's pray.